Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And it is Tuesday evening, my favorite time of the my favorite time of the week. Why? Because I get to be with you. I get to engage, be curious, and I get to talk with people who are ordinary people living extraordinary lives. I love that. I think people that are living life their way, which is my program that I have, it's living life your way. We all came here to live life the way we want, doing the things that we want, and we have to be committed to that. So ordinary people living extraordinary lives and making it happen and enjoying themselves and spreading joy around the world. I think that's really important. Don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I think it's really important. So today... Oh, you have to speak into the mic. Okay. So today is Tuesday, and we had Tuesday is my everything day, right? Actually, because Tuesday is when I do my show. Tuesday is when I do Lunch Lady, you know. So I just did Lunch Lady. It's like Feed Your Brain, Grow Your Business, which is a lunchtime event that I do once a month. This month we did Google Analytics, and I tell you, it was overflowing with people attending Google Analytics, wanting to learn it, wanting to know what it's all about, how can it help them to grow their business, how can it... Google Analytics is like pulling the hood, lifting the cover on the hood of your car and looking underneath to see what makes it go, who's coming to you, who's sitting on your site, who's spending time with you. And that's what we did. So last week we had Alexandra Gephardt on the show, and this week she led the Google Analytics, and it was fantastic. So I had a really, really good day, and I'm happy to be here now with Dr. Mary Clifton. I have been trying to get this lady on my show for the longest time, but she is super busy, right? Super
busy.
It's
been going on forever. It's embarrassing how many times we've had to reschedule.
But you know what? It's all good. You're here now, and I'm really excited to have you. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So Dr. Mary Clifton, she does telemedicine. I think that's just absolutely fantastic, which you're going to hear about what that is. And she's also focusing on the area of cannabinoids. I can never say it properly.
Cannabinoids. Yeah, if you think of cannabis and then just start with that, think cannabinoids.
And which is CBD, THC, and using it in the world of medicine. So welcome, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit, where do you hail from? Are you a native New Yorker?
Oh, no. I grew up in northern Michigan in a very small town. Mm-hmm. And my parents valued education and religion. I went to church and went to school, went to the grocery store. Uh-huh. We went out to dinner one night a week. Uh-huh. Then I lived on a lot of acreage out in the country. So we just... played in the leaf piles and the sandbox and in the snow. Just a really fun childhood in the country up north.
So you weren't running around in the streets of somewhere in New York playing stickball and handball? And
absolutely not. That nothing not gonna... anywhere near that.
Right. So so you're not from New York. How long have you been in New York?
Oh, I moved to New York about 5 years ago. My daughter went to medical school. Uh-huh. Didn't go to medical school. She did her OB-GYN residency here. Oh. And so I was coming here to see her during her residency and thought, why am I not here myself?
Right.
It's a little
bear with
tricky.
Me. I'm sweating right now. I'm having a moment because that's what happens. I'm in the menopause. And what happens is when I get excited, I start sweating. I don't know what that is, though, but I guess it's hormonal, right? Like excitement and stuff is probably linked to hormones.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's just unpredictable.
It is unpredictable, you know, but
I can't dress in layers
because I get too hot, and then I don't get the cold. I just get the hot. So we have a friendly person on your lap.
Yeah. Well, I have my little Miko who's just got some issues when he's left alone. So he just comes with me when he can.
He's so cute.
Which is most of the time, you know. He's so teeny. You just put him in a bag and he comes along.
How many pounds is he?
Oh, he's 5 pounds and change. 5 1/4.
Wow, that's great. He's really cute. That's the kind of dog that I would have. You could just like throw him in a bag and go.
Yeah, he does allow you to stay pretty mobile. And he's good company for me because I work a lot of hours at home, you know, telemedically and then with organizing my CBD and cannabis site and videotaping and things.
So tell me about, first of all, I know we're going to talk about the cannabinoids and CBD and THC and all those good things, but I really want to hear about like telemedicine.
Well, I really love practicing telemedicine. I ran a private practice for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And there's
where you actually saw clients
in
right?
a brick in and out. Mortar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In an office. And I had a blast. I loved my patients, but you know, you just have to always keep looking for what's interesting and innovative.
Right.
And, the telemedicine, systems are so wonderful and patient-centered. I think so much of what we do in the office and in the hospital is very much insurance and billing-centered, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and not really centered on taking the best care of the patient. But when a patient is sick, or if they just can't get into the doctor right. and they need a refill, you have a urinary tract infection, right. you have a rash, you need a cannabis card. Right. And there's a million reasons right. why telemedicine is just so neat. And there's applications in other areas that you wouldn't expect. Like I work for a company that does immediate disability assessments for people that are injured at their workplace.
Right.
So you can get them assessed right away and make a determination on whether they can return to work or go home or go right. to urgent care. It's very, very cost effective, that particular program.
So that reminds me, it brings to my mind, like, there's, you know, like if we think back like 20 years, maybe 30 years, that was like science fiction, right? The telemedicine. It's like yeah. something out of Star Trek.
Some of these guys that have been in the business for 14 or 15 years are just amazing.
It's been around that long?
Yeah. There's one fellow who does birth control, you know, on the internet. And he said, you know, that when he first saw the computer and started to think, he was like, we need to do our doctor's appointments this way. This would be amazing. And he's come up against so many obstacles right. over the years. At one point had, you know, the FDA or some regulatory agency at his front door mm-hmm. of his private home. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been an easy growth curve, but it's very exciting and innovative. And it's just so patient-centered. It makes it so much easier to be seen quickly and get the care you need right away.
So I'm just trying to imagine, right, because I have no idea about this, but I do find it fascinating. So somebody wants birth control. Right?
Yes.
And how does he do the blood and how does he do the tests and things?
Well, and not every condition is appropriate for telemedicine, but for certain things like birth control, urinary tract infections, uncomplicated rashes, some sinus infections or upper respiratory infections, bronchitis, if you can't get into your doctor, but you need a refill on your medicine, and you just need a month to hold over so that you right. can get to your doctor. Those are all things that you can very reasonably and easily place a call for and just get taken care of.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking, you know, because I have, I'm diabetic. Well, I hate to say I have it. I'm experiencing diabetes. Mm-hmm. And what I have is I have this little device called Dario. And what I do is I plug it into my phone.
Oh,
and then
right.
I do the thing. Everything is very compact. Everything comes
yes.
in the prick thing, the little things. I put it in my phone and I test it.
So you can monitor your blood
sugar.
Yeah,
I can monitor my blood sugar. And if my doctor didn't know about it, I found this online. And it's really great. It's better than using that, you know, you got to do. It's better on the phone because at least I could actually monitor it because mm-hmm. the phone mm-hmm. tells you you're in range, you're out of range, mm-hmm. you know, you're high, whatever, all that kind of stuff. And now they have a blood pressure one. Right. So if you have blood pressure, it's the same situation. So I'm thinking with the doctor, you know, he's probably checking stuff and they've got some kind of technology that they use on the.
Well, you know, Oscar Insurance is working on some very innovative primary care models
right.
where you see your brick and mortar doctor once a year and
right.
then do the rest of your primary care. You know, telemedically. And there's no reason why that isn't a good idea for a number of people as long as you're not, you know, chronically ill with a lot of serious conditions.
Right. 'Cause yeah. you can see the tongue. You can see the eyes. You can do a lot of those kind of things over the... And you probably get people telling you much more intimate things.
Well, the studies actually show that people lie a lot less on telemedicine than they do in person.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because I think in the at the doctor's, it's like, oh God, I got to be right here with you. I don't want to tell you the truth. But on the computer, it's like talking to the television, right?
Yeah.
So you're actually engaging
and
in a
lot of times
way.
You're not actually doing video. You're just doing telephone. You know, certain states require video and certain states require a telephone call. So in a lot of cases, you're not actually doing video work with patients, which is good because most people hate to look at themselves on camera.
Right. Look at myself all the time.
I always feel bad when states
no, but
turn
you look
to a
great.
Video.
You have great eyes, so
that's
a really good thing. So that's I just think it's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's been a really great career choice for me. I love it.
And how long have you been telemedicine?
I've been I switched gears and went into it more full time 2 or 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's been
and how do people find you?
Well, I subcontract, I guess, with various companies so mm-hmm. that they find patients. And then I have my own small practice that mm-hmm. I do primarily cannabis cards and then also, you know, for medical marijuana programs. And then also, you know, consultations around using medical cannabis.
So we're going to talk about, I want to get into the cannabis stuff in once we come back from the break, but because I think it's a really exciting, future that has a lot of like ups, you know, that, and then it has a lot of downs with some people, because I want to find out about this vaping stuff. Do you know anything about that? Like people doing the bad vaping?
I did a 30-minute video series on the vaping and what's going on there.
Right. Yeah. So I want to talk about that. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I am with Dr. Mary Clifton, and we are going to be talking about CBD. We've talked about telemedics, so that was really great and interesting. It's like a Star Trek moment. And now we're going to talk about the CBD, THCs, and hemp, and all those good things.
There's so much to talk about. It's hard to know where to even start.
So I know that you've written a book,
The Grass is Greener.
The Grass is Greener.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. Like,
Well, my one true love really is the videos that I'm creating.
Mm-hmm. I saw a ton of videos.
Yes, yes. I've been working at CBDandCannabisInfo.com and mm-hmm. creating a group of videos that help to answer any question you would have about CBD or medical cannabis or how to use the products, what to do if you get too high, how to use them for the first time, but also the research around how they get used for various conditions like multiple sclerosis or tremor or tics and Tourette's or insomnia, anxiety, pain, a load of really high quality videos that just covers the research.
So I just want to let people know that you are a medical doctor. You're board certified. You're licensed internal doctor practicing in Manhattan. You're a recognized expert in the CBD and cannabis and the founder of CBD and Cannabis Info. .com.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? That you're is highly me. Respected. It's like we have no schlubs around here, right? And the cannabinoid protocol. What is that?
The cannabinoid protocol is a training system that I have, so that if you want to learn how to use these products in the setting of disease in a clinical setting, I don't have any
is for doctors and things, right? In a clinical setting.
For doctors or for businessmen or for dispensary workers who are going to be talking to people about how to use medical cannabis. Yeah, for any number of people. And we're adding it on to a broader business component that I'm not writing. I'm not a businessman.
Right.
But somebody else is preparing a business component, and then we're offering that at, you know, in more of a university setting.
Right.
So yeah, it's being purposed for a number of things.
You really are up to some stuff. And then you you also created the book. You're creating the protocol, and there was something else that I saw that you did here.
It's mostly the videos that are really the cornerstone of the whole thing, and it's helping, companies and
corporations too. And you're also helping them in the development of different kinds of products within that arena.
Yeah, to some degree, I'm involved in product development. Yeah, my main interest is really getting the clinical data. My main interest is normalizing. What I want to do is normalize the use of these products so that it doesn't look like some sort of crazy fringe science.
Right.
So that, because what my personal experience was just individual patients who had considerable benefit from cannabis, particularly when I had my brick and mortar. I had a one fellow that stands out that had a self-inflicted gunshot wound that he survived. A lot of times when people attempt to shoot into their neck or head, they'll tilt the gun too far forward and take a lot of their chin in the front of their face.
Yeah, I there's always a reason why I'm looking at stuff like that. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking at people that were doing suicide. And yes, it did take off the front half of their face.
It makes for a terrible disaster for the future, for pain and for nutrition.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on around here.
Yeah. And so there was an amazing response to cannabinoid formulations. But then it really struck home when my brother died a few years ago and I took care of him at bedside. I've done hospice for 25 years, but I'd never done hospice at the bedside and actually been able to see if things were working or not. And I had a very uncontrolled situation. We had a very symptomatic death. It was really disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months later, I had a girlfriend have recurrent ovarian cancer, and she died with cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience was completely different. So then I thought,
and when you say completely different, is it like one was painful, trauma?
Nausea, out of control, air hunger. I just, I didn't have control of anything.
Yeah.
And then with the
What's
other
air
case,
hunger?
Fighting for a breath, feeling like you can't get your breath.
Got it.
Yeah. All the things that you would like to avoid.
Right.
So when my girlfriend had a different experience, I thought, this is probably just coincidental. I'll look this up, and then I'll get back to work with internal medicine and telemedicine. And that was 3 years ago.
Right.
And about 100 videos ago.
Right.
You know, there's just so much data out there that as doctors, we get told there's no data. We need more data. Don't start thinking about this yet. Well, there's enough data. And I think you can make some recommendations safely, you know, couched in the right communication and with the right verbiage around it. There's no reason why it can't be explored more broadly.
Right. So there was a so now I want to know, because there's so many different kinds of CBDs and blah, blah, blahs on the market, right?
Yes.
Looks like there's a shop on 38th and 6th, between 6th and 7th. Looks like a candy store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have all kinds of CBDs.
It's a grown-up candy store.
Yeah, it's a grown-up candy store, right? With CBDs and weed and deodorants and you name it, all kinds of tchotchke, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does one know they're taking something that's of good quality?
I know some of this stuff. In my Facebook feed a few days ago, there was a CBD-infused pillow. I just don't really know what's happening anymore. Some of this cannot have it. I mean, but I, apparently it's stimulating a market, so it's doing something.
Right.
But no, I think the best thing to do with any of your products is look for third-party testing. I'm going to add some recommendations on my website. I'm adding them sort of reluctantly because I don't want to give the appearance of being a marketer, but it is a tough decision out there. And but at the very least, whatever product you're using should have third-party testing. And in my favorite companies, you just turn the bottle over and there's a QR code that you can scan, and then it'll take you right to the third-party testing for that batch. Then you can see the concentrations of CBD or THC or some of the lesser-known cannabinoids like CBN, CBC, CBG, and
see if they're
CBG. I know, CBC, I thought that was blood work.
But so, because what I've noticed is there's a, like I said, there's a lot of, there's one popular one that's really doing some amazing marketing out there, Frogger or Frog, right? The green one, right? And you could, there was a time over the, within this year, you could find it at the local delis in my neighborhood, and they had 25, 50, you know, it's a big frog and it had a certain amount. And I would take that thing and in an hour I'm gone.
Huh.
Like fast asleep.
Oh, nice.
And I would just have this sleep that was like all in dead.
Mm.
Right?
And you felt restored in the morning?
Yeah, I felt good in the morning. But after a while, I said to myself, I can't keep taking this, right? Because what if it's messing up my sleep patterns? I'm not saying that it was, but over a long period of time, don't all things start to sort of wear off or your body gets accustomed to it?
Well, I think it's a good idea when you're dealing with insomnia to try to take a limited amount.
I just wanted to try it.
You just wanted to try it.
But the sleep was good.
I mean, a lot of people would argue, me among them, that you're probably cannabinoid deficient. I mean, if you think about before the prohibition, you know, in the early 1900s, before 1920, this stuff was a weed. It wasn't that hard to grow, and it'd be growing in the ditch. It'd be, you'd be, you know, breathing in the pollen several times a year.
I read about that on your site where you can actually, it was around, and you'd breathe in the pollen coupled with all the other stuff that's in the environment, which was really good for us.
Yeah. And the animals, presuming that you're eating animals or eating eggs, the animals that were producing that were also nibbling on these herbs.
Right.
So you were getting a steady dose, even if you weren't trying to.
Right.
So I do think that the CBD, I mean, in 5 years, where will we be? I think it'll be in your medicine cabinet next to your probiotic.
Right.
And probably in front of your Motrin.
Well, I do have it. Yes, it is very good for, I get migraine every now and then. It is really good for migraine. I take a little bit sublingually, and then I take a bit around here.
It's fascinating.
Right? And it is fascinating how fast that thing works.
And by around here, you know, on the temples, the topicals, I have heard so many success stories with using it topically too. And I'm a little bit, you know, hesitant to give that recommendation, except for so many people feel so good when they use it topically.
No, topically it's really good, because there's another store across the street in the green shop. They sell it. And when you put it on, if like you get a little twinge or something, you've worked out a muscle strain or whatever, you put it on, 1, 2, 3, it's gone.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of data on CBD and other cannabinoid formulations appearing to be very helpful in all different levels. It basically impacts the way that one nerve communicates with another right. nerve. So up the spinal cord, on the surface of the brain, on the way down
yeah,
the
I
spinal
use it
cord.
Here too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the back of my neck. I haven't used it in a while, but, you know, I use it here, where all those little areas that I know, and in my molar right up here.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I use it. And then you could just feel, it's like it relaxes everything.
That sounds really relaxing,
yeah.
actually.
And so here's the thing. Remember what you told me when we were at lunch when I first met you, was that you can't use that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, as a licensed doctor, yeah. I can use a CBD isolate. I think I'm safe to do that, but right. I can't do any exposure to THC. The CBD isolate undergoes an extra distillation, so it's not a broad-spectrum mm-hmm. CBD. It's just the CBD molecule,
right.
So there's no risk that there will be a trace of THC in it.
Right.
If you're using a broad-spectrum or a full-spectrum, some people call it, there's a potential for 0.3%.
Yeah.
Of the cannabinoids to be THC, and that would be enough to flip a drug test
right.
or to put me in a range, you know, where I would have to declare that, you know,
yeah,
that I've been
it.
Using that substance. Yeah.
So I also understand what I've learned a little bit was that we have cannabinoids in our bodies naturally or some kind
right.
of something.
Yeah, the endocannabinoid system wasn't even identified until the late 80s. Just there was limitations on our research capabilities because of the prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have the HIV community to thank for bringing that forward in the 80s where they said, listen, this stuff works. And figure it out because we need our medicine.
Right.
And they advanced things dramatically. But the endocannabinoid system overlays all of the other systems in the body. There's CB1 receptors all through your nervous system,
mm-hmm.
CB2 receptors all through the periphery, especially concentrated in the immune system. And there's other CB3, CB4, CB5 in isolated areas in the brain, but the CB1 and CB2 are the big receptors in the body. And it's similar to the thyroid or similar to cortisol
mm-hmm.
where, you know, if you have any issues with the thyroid, you get changes in so many different systems.
My God. I have a client, I coach a client that I've been working with for a number of years, and we've literally transformed our whole entire life. Like, you know, when I met her, she was working in the basement, hating a job.
Mm.
You know, fast forward, she has like a beautiful home. She has a great job. She's engaged. She's just having a great life. And she had a thyroid problem this year.
Mm.
And the doctor was talking about an operation, taking it out or whatever. And she was like, hell to the no. And we really just talked it through. And she said, you know, she started to do research because I'm all about like helping people empower them to take on their life.
Mm-hmm.
So giving it over to somebody else. So she removed plastics. She removed certain foods. She removed certain lotions. She removed a ton of things from her life that can impact the thyroid. She went completely mm-hmm. homeopathic with vitamins and things like that. Now she's back to normal.
It's true with the ECS system too. I mean, you can stimulate it with cannabinoids, but you can also get benefits from beta-caryophyllene, from black pepper.
Mm-hmm. She was taking that.
Limonene, pinene. Yeah, there's a lot of, and exercise.
Yeah.
All those things add to the tone of the ECS system without taking a cannabinoid
formulation.
I'm
nodding with you like ECS system. Yeah, like what is that?
Oh, the endocannabinoid system. These CB receptors. I know. Don't you hate it when a doctor just starts talking like a doctor?
That's why you ask the question. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Mm-hmm. Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we are with Dr. Mary Clifton. And we're having a wonderful, I mean, it's such a great conversation. You know, I had somebody on the show, I had a young man, Thomas, on the show a few months ago. And he opened Brooklyn CBD.
Okay.
And he got into CBD because his friends were stressed out.
Oh.
And they started talking about it and taking it and saying how it was helping them to sleep and all that good stuff. And he literally quit his job and started to do research about it and opened up the Brooklyn CBD. But the thing good about it is that you really can't detect what's good and what's not good. I've had some good ones and mm-hmm. I've had some ones that are not so good. And it's really difficult to kind of figure it out what the good one is. And the only way I can test it for myself after I spent the money, is that I get good sleep.
You know, I think the third-party testing is important, but to some degree, this is where a well-trained dispensary worker can be valuable to you.
Right.
Because it's the CBD and making sure that you have as much CBD in the product as the label says.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the terpenes, these
yes.
other sort of the essential oils that surround the mm-hmm. CBD. And people will say that the CBD will start the engine, but the terpenes drive the car.
Right.
So you may be looking for something to sleep and then take something that's really high in limonene and then you're alert, you
right.
know, a calm but alert.
Right.
And then or you can take something that's a little higher in linalool from mm-hmm. lavender and you'll fall asleep more readily. I think that the companies are ahead of us too because
right.
they, you know, are I mean, I think some of the most innovative companies are creating these, you know, CBD products that say calm
right.
for the morning and sleep for
right.
the evening so that they're surrounding, you know, they're doing a bit of that engineering for you.
Right.
So you can pick products that are going to, and of course, within the cannabis industry, it's loaded with products like that that are specifically designed to enhance your sexuality
mm-hmm.
or to make you more alert but pain-controlled and anxiety-controlled during
mm-hmm.
the day. So I'm impressed at all of those companies that are doing that type of work.
So I think that this CBD is also a good area for women to get into. Like the marketing and stuff, but I also I'm worried, concerned is more the word, about the Philip Morris's and the, you know, all these different cigarette companies mm-hmm. that are stepping into the arena and going to be using it for, you know, I'd say ill-gotten gain to some degree, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's I think there's plenty of money in this industry
tons
right now.
Tons of money.
Yeah, tons of money. And there's all kinds of different characters that are getting involved,
mm-hmm.
nefarious or otherwise. But I don't know how I feel about you know, I think the majority of people are just working to try to bring things
mm-hmm.
to
market that helpful.
Yeah. To market that are helpful. And I think I would certainly welcome more regulation,
right.
especially with the vaping disaster
yes.
that we've been dealing with
yes.
here.
Yes, let's talk about a little bit about that. So
yeah.
what is actually going on? Because I heard something about vitamin E and, you know, like people
yeah.
are vaping vitamin E it and all this kind of stuff? I don't really understand it.
What you have to do is bring your CBD or your tobacco, whatever you're inhaling, it has to be brought into a solution. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to cut CBD is to just add THC. That'll thin it right out. But mm-hmm. if you're using just a CBD, they'll thin it with agents like propylene glycol or vegetable glycerin. Well, propylene glycol, when you heat it, it just turns mostly into carbonyls,
okay.
which you're getting if you were to smoke cigarettes.
Right.
So not you don't want any more than you're already getting, but it's not that dangerous. Not any more dangerous, I should say, than cigarettes. The vegetable glycerin, when it burns into sugar, formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, at about the same rates that you would get in a cigarette anyway.
Right.
What really seems to set aside the vapes is when they come from secondary markets or black markets mm-hmm. and they're using vitamin E as the cutting agent, then that can become a problem. But there's also, you know, concern just about using any vape that's using an oil as the medium, because we just aren't designed to inhale oils. Well, but the other
I can't even imagine oil on your lungs.
Yeah, and I think your lungs really don't understand how to handle that, because that's just not something we would do. But the other problem is these flavorings, especially mm-hmm. the diacetyl, which in one recent study was found in 60% of flavored vapes. We know diacetyl as an occupational hazard for popcorn lung. We've known this since 2005, where people that inhale it will go from healthy lungs to irreversibly damaged mm-hmm. lungs. I mean, it's a food-safe product, but that doesn't make it inhalation safe.
Right.
And somehow it's found its way into all of these flavored vapes.
And mostly children and young adults are doing the flavored vapes.
Yeah. I mean, the vapes initially came to the U.S. with the sort of marketing that they would help to reduce tobacco addiction, mm-hmm. and if anything, they've contributed to the addiction to tobacco. Everybody's vaping, you know.
Yes,
everyone is vaping.
Everyone. I've tried the vape. I did vape with CBD oil, but I got, where did I get my CBD oil? I got it somewhere good, but I didn't do it for a really long time. But what I'm finding is that a lot of the people that are using the vapes, they're using the really big vaporizers, and it has a lot. So when they inhale, it's like they want that big smoke.
Yeah, that big cloud is a result of the, it's either the vegetable glycerin or the propylene glycol, but people have been, marketed to or thinking that big white cloud is a sign of quality.
Right.
And it's just the carrier agent.
Right.
But yeah, it has been a very effective marketing tool. So we do have to retrain people to avoid the white cloud. And also when you cut with, terpenes, some of the smartest companies, I think, are cutting the CBD with terpenes.
Right.
That makes sense to me, you know, since you would inhale terpenes anyway. And that seems to be reasonably healthy, but we probably need to do more studies.
Right.
But in those cases, the vape cartridge itself, the color of the liquid is mm-hmm. a little darker, and people prefer a lighter colored liquid too.
Right.
So there's just some marketing that we have to get around to.
But don't you think that because it's such an, I don't want to say new, because CBD, THCs, weed, all that stuff has been out there since time of man.
5,000 years.
Right, yeah. Since man, right? Man and fire. Right? So, the Native Americans, like indigenous communities, have been engaging in weed and stuff like that for eons, right? And I think, like you just said, I think some indigenous communities, white keeps them healthy, white keeps them sane, white keeps them calm, as opposed to, you know, when I watch TV and I know it's a terrible thing to say, but when I used to watch cowboys and Indians and they used to pass around the peace pipe, I imagine that was weed.
Maybe it was.
Weed or tobacco, right? But they would smoke and they'd say, have a smoke, right? No, it wasn't. It probably wasn't tobacco. It probably was weed, right? Because it was peace. It was called the peace pipe.
Yeah.
Right? So you smoke and you get chill. And what do they do?
Well,
drums.
You don't see a lot of people breaking chairs over each other's heads in the consumption lounges. I mean, it's a different crowd in the consumption lounges than it is in a bar.
Right. Exactly. And also, I think One of the questions that I have is, how do you, even though I probably know the answer, but how are they going to moderate people driving while high? I mean,
The driving is interesting, though. I mean, there is a zero tolerance around the world, and of course, including the United States, on driving while intoxicated. But the actual data around how much cannabinoid formulations impact your driving is pretty reassuring. What they study is reaction time and lane weave. And you can get a little lane weave if you're dealing with somebody who's naive to the products,
right,
and you use a
like
lot
me,
of
I'll
it.
Be crazy.
Yeah. Or if you use alcohol combined, then you can definitely see changes.
Right.
But if you have somebody who's been using the products and uses and then drives, it's very hard to detect that there's any difference in their driving. And in fact, Sativex is a prescription THC CBD product that's used for muscle spasm and pain control and multiple sclerosis, and probably has a neuroprotective benefit also.
Right.
But that product, they have logged 55,000 patient years of driving now, and there's literally not even an increase in parking tickets.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
So it's surprisingly safe to have cannabinoids in your system when driving. Have you ever seen that super hilarious little video on YouTube about the Canadian police right after it went legal up there? They did a really funny thing where the cop, you know, goes to a car where they've basically hotboxed the car. It's
right.
Like, you guys have been sitting here for a long time. Anyway, it's just the funniest video. Using cookie dough and pizza to determine, you know,
exactly how high you are. And yeah. So, and that's the thing, because I, you know, you answered the question for me, because what I've experienced is that people that I know that do weed, they don't want to drive after they smoke and some weed. They just want to chill out. Most people just want to chill out. Now, for me, I've smoked weed once in my entire life, right? And it drove me crazy. I just got really paranoid from it, so I never did it again.
Oh.
And then also, like,
help you with that.
If I do, I want help with that. Right. And then when I'm around people who smoke it, I will get a contact high. It's really terrible. Now, there was one article that you wrote about, which I thought was really, really good, was weed and sperm. Like, does it? Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there are some changes to sperm quality and quantity.
Mm-hmm. We'll handle that when we come right back.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Ukraine is
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm with Dr. Mary Clifton, and we're having a wonderful conversation. So tune in and chime in. And okay, so we were talking about driving, and I asked you a question, but it went right out of my head.
Oh, you were asking about sperm counts.
Then. Yes, sperm counts. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I read an article where it says it does, it can affect the quality of sperm, you know.
But. Yeah, I have a whole bunch of videos around sexuality, and but there is some data on reducing quality of sperm and reducing the quantity. Also, there does seem to be there are CB. You know how they figured this out finally about exactly how it's working. They there were a number of biopsies that were done.
Oh yes, I read that.
Yes, on patients who had tumors in their testicles.
What's a germ tumor?
So a germ cell tumor is just it's like a very primal, original, like sex cell where your sex cells derive from. You know, your eggs or your sperm. Mm-hmm. That's your germ cell line.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. So these people had those tumors, and they had, when you resect the tumor, when you cut out the tumor, you take some clean tissue all around the tumor.
And that's how you make sure all the tumor's gone.
Right. So they did studies on that clean tissue to try to see what is where the CB receptors are. That's how they got biopsies of testicles. Isn't that interesting? And I thought that was such a smart way to put together a study.
Right.
And then they were able to show that there's CB receptors right there, right in the area where the sperm is created. So it appears that when you're using, that could be contributing to changes in the sperm quality or quantity.
So if you're a male and you're considering having babies and stuff like that, you might want to modify.
Well, maybe. I don't think that we can immediately like jump to that there's a male infertility problem associated with using these products, or a female one. But there are changes.
Right. You know. How does it affect women? Like, does it, you know, CBD in women?
You know, I don't think that I have information. I what you're asking me is specifically about their fertility, or eggs, and
or breasts, or what, body, any changes in the body.
Well, I mean, a lot of women are using CBD around cycling for cramping, managing cramping or painful periods.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people doing some really innovative things with vaginal lubricants that contain CBD or THC to enhance sexuality, and then others that are just using vaginal, creams or suppositories to try to relieve the symptoms of cycles. And I think people get pretty impressive results. I have heard, but I haven't completely assured myself that this is true, that there's the highest concentration of CB receptors in the entire body is in the uterus.
Right.
But I don't think that's true. I think it's in the central nervous system. But the uterus is right near the top.
Right.
So if there's an area that would benefit, especially when you're dealing with, you know, monthly cramping,
right,
I would, that might be a good place to try.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I don't have that cramping business anymore.
There's a lot of sexual dysfunction that, you know, just relates to anxiety.
Right.
And a lot of the way CBD and other cannabinoids work is
relaxation,
managing anxiety, whether you're dealing with anxiety that's complicating, you know, your dying process from cancer or other diseases, or if you have a tremor or or another chronic disease. You know, people will feel better,
right?
Even if the product isn't necessarily directly, you know, it has evidence that it's working on the disease.
So I have this theory that I have in my own, isn't my own theory, that like people that have tremors or they have these tics and things, like I have an experience of them being a ball of knots, like all the nerves are all knotted up and they can't breathe and they can't move. And that, like, with the CBD, it could, like, open up and start to unknot that knot. That's, I don't know. I just see that in my mind when I see people that have tremors and things like that. I know it's other things, but I just have an experience of it as being knots, maybe along the central nervous system, and ends up in that area.
Yeah. I mean, I don't exactly, you know, think we have the mechanism of a lot of this figured out. There does appear to be some degenerative patterns in the central nervous system, like in parts of the brain, you know, that lead to the Parkinson's, or tics and Tourette's is quite a bit more complicated than, you know, that I'm not sure that we've isolated it to one area of the brain, although there are some areas.
Right. What about, I'm sure they are somewhere along the world looking at CBD and Alzheimer's and dementia the plaquing and stuff like that.
Yeah, there are some laboratory-based studies that suggest that CBD could promote neurogenesis, that mm-hmm. it could help to grow new cells, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think the researchers took quite some time to come out with that opinion. And that opinion is, so I believe that that opinion is accurate. But they've also couched it with, if you're going to treat Alzheimer's with CBD, it's not just a matter of taking a few drops of CBD. You've got to do everything else, you know, the dietary change, right. the regular exercise, the supplements, all the other things that support healthy brain growth.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like I can't imagine what 10 years down the road is going to look worldwide, not just in America, but like worldwide. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like.
Oh, I know. I mean, I just came back from Africa, and part of our tour with Virgin Unite was looking at the Kenyan prison crisis, because they've got, I mean, they have overcrowding that was really hard to witness. It was hard to imagine that people could be that tightly housed.
Packed.
And jail and prison is the same thing in Kenya. If you've been arrested, you go in, and oftentimes you might go in for 2 or 3 years until your paperwork gets in front of a judge, assuming you
hope
can
it's
get
not
your
just
paperwork
for a parking
around.
Ticket.
Well, and for women in a lot of cases, it's child neglect.
Right.
Because they have to work and they have to leave their children alone sometimes. And for men, a lot of times it's cannabis. And that was my argument. What if you legalized cannabis and regulated it and made money from it, and now you've solved your prison crisis?
Right.
I think there's solutions like that in Kenya, but there's solutions like that right here in this city.
A friend and I were just talking about you know, something simple as the deposit on a bottle, right? The deposit on a bottle, returning it and getting 5 cents.
Yes.
There are no bottles in the streets.
Yes.
Right? Do you remember when you used to ride the subway and there used to be subway cards all over the place? They'd be just littered throughout the subway or littered in front of the subway. Then they put that surcharge on it at $1. There are very few subway. So there's a solution for everything. Right.
Yes.
If you legalized, and that's what I was saying about cannabis. I think I got interviewed a couple of months ago last year. If you legalize cannabis, right, you can use that for daycare. Right. You can use it for the taxes. There's so many different things that you can do with the taxes and the money that comes out of that,
absolutely.
You can transform our schools. You can transform the prisons. You can get more daycare. There's so many things that you can do, but we have to be generous.
Yes. And I think you just we really have to remember all of the people who have served, you know, for so long in prison for, you know, having two cigarettes.
Months.
Yeah. And removing, I mean, I think you could do some major work in just emptying the prisons of these non-criminal criminals.
Right. That, well, but they have that thing where they're giving people a certain amount of they're giving them the licenses to open up dispensaries and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, like, how are you going to give somebody a license to open up a dispensary, you know, free carte blanche pretty much to open up a dispensary, but they have no training. They've been in prison for X amount of years and they come out, they've got this thing, they're going to lose it, or they're going to be victims to somebody else's corruption.
Yeah. I mean, the protection of the secondary markets is really, is important. And I know there's been a lot of discussion in New York as legalization discussions move forward, especially recreationally, because there's, you know, so many communities that rely on that income from a secondary market. So we have to make sure that something is protected there and that those situations remain stable.
Right.
You're absolutely right. That's complicated. The answer to that question is complicated.
Yeah. It's going to take a lot of deep thought. Mm-hmm. And actions. So we are at our last couple minutes of the show, I think like two now. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And where can people find you if they want to work with you with telemedicine or getting one of those little cards? Or
Yeah, if you want your medical cannabis cards or telemedicine, or if you just want to learn about CBD and cannabis, my videos, everything is at CBDandCannabisInfo.com.
Right.
And if you have a particular thing you want that you can't find, just message me there. All of those messages go right into my inbox and I handle them. And if you need a video, if you need data that you don't see, just let me know and I'll shoot that video. It's probably already in production schedule.
Right. So I just, the baby's come down. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It was well worth the wait. I really appreciate it. No, it was really well worth the wait.
I appreciate you rescheduling me. And, I don't know what went wrong.
Don't worry about it. And so I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. And thank you for listening and the people that are going to be listening after this goes live on wherever, YouTube. This is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Subscribe. And this is for Mrs. Gephardt. Please subscribe to my site on Live Life Your Way on YouTube and also on anywhere else you'll find me. This is Noreen Sumter signing off. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.